are On the Lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton and the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
I call it Educate with Ward. Not just On the Lot, but we're on the lot getting educated with Ward Catering. From Vision Ford, good morning.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I am doing well.
Excellent.
We're going to touch on one of my favorite things to talk about with you is the world of EVs. Now, slowly but surely, in conversation, I'm hearing more people going, you know, you kind of got me thinking, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, if we can just get you started thinking, that's a good thing.
That's the key. It's like anything. Whether we exercise, it takes a while to get a little momentum, right?
Yeah.
At least for myself, it does. And the education is, it's a little slow to be adapted. We're learning that quickly. And it's just, I think when you don't know something, you shy away from it. When you shy away from it, it just seems to go away, even though it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to the EV world. And electric vehicles are certainly not going away. They may go through a number of changes. That's
as they
guaranteed.
Have already. Yeah, as
absolutely.
They have already. So.
So we're going to see that to continue. We're seeing some exciting things right now. I'm currently driving a hybrid F-150 pickup, which is just, I just love it. I was looking at it last night a little more when I was at home, and what's so great about it, it has a built-in 7,200 kilowatt kW generator. So there's truly two 110 20-amp plugs in the back, and you have a 30-amp. There's a lot you can do with that, whether you're an outdoor enthusiast, whether you need it for emergencies around our part of the world when we have winter months, some power outages, but it's built right into the vehicle. And what's so great about that is you truly can plug your house in just like a generator. And the battery will be recharged by the gas engine. So we're getting a generator out of it.
Okay.
And the gas engine is literally going to cycle on and off. And it rarely comes on, which is so interesting. I played with it a little bit last night. And the gas engine will not come on that often. Obviously, demand changes that.
Yeah.
But I plugged some heavy things into it, just trying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go amazing time before it kicks on. So point being there is you're getting the value of having a considerable size generator. 7,200 is very good size. But then you're also, when you're driving it, you have an electric vehicle. So when you're in town driving around, you're benefiting from being 100% electric until you kind of creep up and get to those highway speeds. So it's just a two-for-one and just an incredible value.
Is it like 800 miles to the gallon on something like that?
Well, that's uphill. Downhill where it's 900.
I'm sure.
No, it's amazing. It just is the all-in-one vehicle. It's just great. There's no look difference. There's no loss of interior space because of the batteries. It's just all there.
And it still has the power.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the one thing. It's like, well, is that going to have the power of internal combustion? Yes, it does.
It does. It has a smile factor. When you step on that throttle, you know you're leaving the stop sign. So, yeah, no, it has plenty of performance. Again, it has a 3.5-liter EcoBoost in my situation, which is what we sell in every other gas engine we have. We've just added the hybrid side with the benefit of a really nice size generator in the back.
Okay.
And you can't see it. It's the generator is not taking up your box. It's not taking up interior space. It's just so well designed and plenty of power.
Nicely put together. So
beautiful.
Again, just drive one.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying that.
Come drive it. So yeah, so that is a relatively new, meaning last year we came out with that. We have a plug-in, the PHEV. So it's you can plug it in. You can drive it like the F-150. Now, again, I'm talking about a Lincoln Aviator or Ford Escape in my situation. But you can plug it in and just run off the plug-in power. Or you can use it like a regular hybrid, meaning you can leave Wahpeton and drive to California and drive over to New York on your way back to Wahpeton. So there's no limit to the range. You just fuel it up like a regular gas engine. So that's pretty amazing, too. Again, they're saying the national average is just over 30 miles a day for us. So this vehicle, you can plug it in and truly get very, very close to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're benefiting, again, without burning up the fuel. So, you know, that's a great option, too. And it's in different size vehicles, and we're going to see it in more and more vehicles, even going through this model year. So that's pretty exciting itself. And here we are with just a lot of flexibility.
Sure.
A lot of changes coming our way, and everything has been very, very positive. So then we go from the hybrid with a generator for a power source in the back to the plug-in hybrid, which we just spoke about. And then we have your traditional hybrid, which you never plug in, and the gas engine charges the battery for the hybrid version. So it's seamlessly going to go in and out of electric. So in town, on the highway, it just does its thing.
And it'll take care of itself.
You don't have to do anything. There's no maintenance. There's no nothing. You change oil because it does have a gas engine, obviously, and you do those maintenance items. But there's nothing additional because of its being a hybrid. So, again, that's the early on version. That one really took off probably 15 years ago. So mm-hmm. This is not new technology. So then we end up at the full electric, the full EV, which is something you and I have been talking about for a number of weeks now. But that's 100% electric. And you and I spoke a couple weeks ago. My wife and I are moving to a different lake home. And so I have a van, a transit van, Ford Transit van. It's 100% electric. And it's just crazy because I can stealth around in that thing, loading it full of furniture and whatever my wife requires to make that transition.
Right.
And it's just amazing. You get in it and you go and you just don't worry about things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun and interesting, too, to actually use that. So beyond that, we certainly have a Lightning pickup, which you've seen and maybe driven in the past. Which is a full F-150. I mean, that has all the capacity to pull your boat. No problem pulling your boat. You can pull your camper with it. Year-round, there's no issues, temperature, starting. All those benefits are there for you. And then one of the most exciting is our Mach-E.
Yeah.
That's a little rocket ship.
Oh, is it ever?
It's a crossover.
Uh-huh.
So you can load it up and you can go to church, go to the lake, whatever you need to do, but you're going to get it there in a timely fashion.
You know, you and I have talked about this before, and the thing that I find so impressive about that Mach-E, I've been in Mercedes. I've ridden in a Rolls.
Yeah.
The ride in this thing is comparable. It is so smooth, and you said that all has to do with how it's balanced.
It's all about the weight, and that's something, that's a real positive that's come out with the EV world, is because it can truly take the battery, which runs the vehicle, and keep in mind that battery is a lot of different cells, so it's not a big brick underneath the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits there, again, are maintenance, repair. You can do it modular. You're not dealing with one big battery. And I think a lot of people worry about what happens when that battery goes bad.
Yeah.
But back to your point, Bill, that when you can spread that weight out, you can control the ride much better. You can control the safety aspect of it as far as stopping, sliding, anything weather-related, gravel, rain. We have a little rain in the air today. And then, of course, from a performance standpoint, you got the performance.
Yeah.
The weight is where it needs to be, which is a little bit of a shift from our internal combustion. When your typical motor is all that weight's in the front of the vehicle, and then you've got a driveline delivering that power back or to all four tires. So
yeah, absolutely.
Lots of things changing, evolving.
Lots of good stuff. We are on the lot with Ward Cater. We do have some rain and 55 degrees. We're on the lot with Ward every Tuesday and every Thursday. Ward, the one thing about EVs that I was thinking about while I was driving that Mach-E is efficiency. What you're really pushing here with the EVs is efficiency.
Very
and,
much.
And the performance.
Absolutely. The efficiency comes in a lot of different forms. Efficiency could be you personally, you benefiting from not having to go to the convenience store to refuel, for you not having to, in my world, come to the dealership to do
right.
oil changes.
Right.
fluid exchanges, things like that. So it truly can give you time back as an owner. And that's something I don't think is really given enough consideration, because that's a big deal. Wake up in the morning, you have a quote-unquote full tank of fuel, your battery charge, off you go to work, to lake, school, church, wherever you want to go, it's ready to go. You come back home. If you choose, you can plug it back in. No. If not, you're most likely good for a number of days yet. To get you there. So that's a huge part of what I consider efficiency. And then, of course, there's the vehicle, too. You know, again, the simplicity of ownership is amazing in itself. The money you save charging it, it's a fraction of putting fuel in. And again, that's with the prices we have today, it's pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
When the fuel goes up, which, knock on wood, I'm knocking on wood as we speak, Bill, hopefully we aren't going to see big jumps through the summer, but it's typical. And that may stick around a little bit. We have a lot of unknown things going on in the world. This is a great way to hedge that. You know, electricity is not a profit center. It's not supposed to be. Where fuel is a traded commodity, oil is a traded commodity. So there are people out there that are making a lot of money trying to get that oil price up. Where electricity is coming out of our co-ops and out of our municipalities, that's designed to stay low for us to benefit from.
That's a good point.
So it's something there to really take into consideration, because it'll be a huge savings. You
right.
could easily save a couple $100 a month to, if you drive a lot, $300-$400 a month. It's real money. It's not funny money that we're making up here. It's real money you can save.
Well, and the thing that I like, you know, you mentioned performance. The thing that I like about you coming in here and telling us about this, and when I was out driving the Mach-E, mm-hmm. all of these questions that people have, the vehicle can pretty much answer it for you. I mean, you get it. The vehicle's taking care of you, which is something I wasn't used to. It was like, look yeah. at all this information coming at me about what's going on here.
Absolutely. Everything from the example I always give is you're going to grandma's house. You know how to get to grandma's house. Put it in the navigation, and the vehicle makes sure it'll get you there. So if it's extremely hot, extremely cold, you're going into a headwind, all those things, the vehicle will absolutely get you there.
Right.
Or it'll give you an alternative to make sure you get there. So, yeah, the vehicles are so intelligent. If it needs maintenance, it's going to share that with you. Again, they don't have one big battery, so you're not going to have one catastrophic failure.
Mm-hmm.
It'll allow you to get where you need to go. It'll share its concerns with the dealership so we can do maintenance or repairs on it. So, yeah, the level of intelligence is growing. It's a lot like our smartphones. The vehicles are designed to hook up to your home or office Wi-Fi, so they're going to update themselves. If they can do a little bit of improvement, they're going to take that technology and change it. It's like the phone. They're not replacing the guts of the phone, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
They're fine-tuning the way the operating system deals with whatever app or software you're running. Same goes with the vehicle. We're going to have more and more apps. We're going to have more and more software updates, and it all happens seamlessly. You don't have to do anything. It'll never prevent you from leaving the house or work.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the middle of an update, which you most likely never know, it'll complete that when you get to your next stop where it has Wi-Fi access. Amazing technology.
Good stuff. Ward Cater, listen, you and the family, you have a great, safe, memorable Memorial Day
there
weekend.
There you go. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk next Tuesday, all right?
All right. Thank you.
It's 9:55 here at the Voice of the Valley.
You have been on the lot with Ward, a weekly presentation brought to you by Vision Ford in Wahpeton. On the lot with Ward, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:40 at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman with a market update. Well, grain and soybean futures didn't see a whole lot of movement here as global weather woes continue to underpin these prices. Flooding in the Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul, the second largest soybean producing state in Brazil, Russia, dry weather through parts of the growing season, followed by a freeze earlier this month, threatening crop prospects there. U.S. Southern Plains, little or no rain has fallen the past couple of weeks. 49% of Kansas, the biggest wheat producer in the U.S., suffering from drought conditions last week, up from 48.6% 7 days earlier. Still, the nation's winter wheat crop conditions continuing to fare pretty well, some 49% in good or excellent condition as of Sunday. Numbers right now, we got July corn up a nickel, 466 and a quarter. December is up four at 488. Looking at the soybeans, July we're down one and a quarter, 1245, and November up two and a quarter at 1220 and a half. Chicago wheat, July is up a half cent now at 693 and a half. December down one and a quarter, 732 and three quarters. Minneapolis, July down two and a half at 734. December down two and three quarters, 758 and a half. Kansas City, July up three and a quarter, 702, three quarters. December up two and three quarters, 736. We'll check the livestock and the outside markets next.
I'm Kelly Armstrong. I'm running for governor, and I thought there are a few things you might want to hear from me rather than some voice actor. While some politicians try and reinvent themselves when they run for office, I encourage you to look at my record because I'm proud of it. On the most important fights, I've always been right in the middle of them. Fighting to defend your property rights in Bismarck, pushing back against the woke left, and defending President Trump from two sham impeachments in Congress. And now, coming back home to tackle the tough issues like reforming property taxes. You will always know where I stand and why. My pledge to you is that as governor, I will be accessible, transparent, and conservative. I will defend innocent life, our borders, our communities, and prosperity in North Dakota. Because that's the kind of governor you deserve. Paid for by Armstrong for Governor, Karma Hansen Treasurer.
Livestock numbers, June live cattle down 7, 184.10. Feeder cattle, May is down 30, 250.07. Lean hogs, June is up 5 at 95.45. Outside markets crude up 20 cents, 77.76 a barrel. Financially, the Dow down 244 points, 39,539. This is the Ag Central Radio Network. With the latest in regional news, I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting. The latest report from the AFL-CIO highlights concerning statistics about worker safety in North Dakota. The state ranks second in the nation for the highest worker death rate. Landis Larson, president of the North Dakota AFL-CIO chapter, expressed disappointment over the lack of improvement compared to previous years. He emphasized that despite the Biden administration's increased safety enforcement, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration resources remain limited, with only seven inspectors covering the entire state. Larson is advocating for more federal resources and a policy overhaul to facilitate legal actions against employers neglecting safety. Meanwhile, the state's labor commissioner noted a decline in worker deaths over the past decade and reaffirmed the commitment to safeguard workers through collaboration with partner agencies. North Dakota's Legacy Fund has achieved a significant milestone, surpassing $10 billion. As of the end of March,